I have the pleasure of having with me today, and he's going to be with me once a month. He's been with me before, Jim Montillo, who is a National Board Certified Counselor and talks about many, many things, new legislation that would provide Medicare reimbursement to counselors. And this is going to be a great, great help to seniors, no question about it. Jim, good to have you back with us.
It's great to be here again, Brad.
So
good to see you.
You're keeping busy, I know.
Busy, busy, busy. The summer, the winter blues is over and the spring's coming. So.
There you go. There you go. Now, the National Board Certified, you are a counselor. Now, this new legislation would provide Medicare reimbursement to counselors. Can you explain how this is going to work and what is the pluses? What is the plus of something like this?
Well, it looks like Representative Barrasso, it's the Mental Health Improvement Act of 2019. He's trying to increase access for professional counselors and licensed marriage and family counselors. Licensed and marriage family therapists to be able to treat our seniors. So right now, there's limited access. Well, there's access for mental health, but it's limited because licensed professional counselors and licensed marriage and family therapists are not able to be Medicare providers. So,
oh, they aren't.
They're not. Not in Connecticut. Not nationally. So what happens is we decrease access for our seniors. So a senior may come into treatment. They will see their provider. They like their provider. But then when they get to retirement age and now they get on Medicare, they're not able to access the same person.
Really?
Correct. And licensed professional counselors are the niche market for mental health. That's what they do. We do mental health treatment, but we're not able to be on Medicare right now. So there's legislators trying to push this act to increase the services, which is going to lower costs for our seniors. It's going to lower there's going to be increase in services being available so that seniors can go closer to home. So this is a great thing for everybody if we can get everybody on board. For the last couple of years, they've been pushing this, but I don't believe it's been passed. So hopefully this year, especially now with the opiate crisis and all these other things that are happening.
I was going to ask you about opiate. Would this help on opiate?
Well, I've personally seen individuals who are in treatment. They're doing well. They now retire, and they get on Medicare, and then they're not able to get the same quality of service, whether
really?
That's medication. Yeah, correct, because what happens is, you know, the cost of treatment it can be significant. If their provider is not able to take Medicare due to because Medicare does not cover every service necessarily, what happens is the individual will end up stopping treatment. So you have individuals that are stabilized on medications, they're in counseling, they're getting support. Now they have to go to either some other service or they stop coming. So it's definitely a barrier for us. I think our legislators and your listeners should really reach out to their representative and let them know like that they support this. All we're doing basically is just increasing access. We know that the more access we have for mental health, the more likely that individuals are going to reach out for help. So we need this law to pass.
Now, it's being worked over now. Is that right?
It is. I believe it's in, you know, there's committees going on. They're reviewing it. They just, I believe, announced it at the end of January. So hopefully, and it's a bipartisan bill. You know, I think both parties support this. I really have no doubt that in Connecticut, our folks are going to support this because I think Connecticut's a pretty mental health friendly environment. But it's still good to kind of voice your opinion and reach out.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, I think it's important that our listeners are aware of what's going on with their tax dollars.
So again, when you look at this, Jim, I think it's a huge plus, especially let's say the seniors have had this all along, and then of course when they can't get it, I mean, what happens to them? That's what I'm concerned about.
Well, this is what happens. They stop treatment. They're not getting life-saving medication that they need. They're not getting the counseling or group support that they need or the family support that they need. oftentimes people end up in crisis, and they end up in our ERs. So they end up in the emergency rooms. What happens is at that point now the hospitals take that individual on, and oftentimes they're flooded, and they're not able to give enough services for that individual. So it affects everybody, and then as far as money-wise, it's going to hit the taxpayer even worse in that situation. So I think this is a good thing. It just gives more options for individuals. Also, hospitals, the VA, they oftentimes do not hire licensed professional counselors or licensed marriage and family therapists as clinicians because they're not able to get on the Medicare panel. So this would increase access to good people working with our folks in the VA, in the hospital system. So it's a good thing. It's in the long term, I think it's going to improve the services that we give. But I think for whatever reason, it's never been licensed professional counselors and licensed marriage and family therapists have not been able to be reimbursed for Medicare.
So you do believe, though, you're into the game now.
I mean, I think it's a good thing. It's just going to increase services.
How long
folks.
Do you think it's going to take?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I mean, I think this has been going on for a couple of years, and it still hasn't gone through. So I question what's –
And there
I don't
are other
know,
doctors like you that are working on it.
We have a lot of people that are advocating for this. The American Counseling Association is advocating this. The licensed marriage and family therapists are advocating for this. So I think we just need to get the word out. Hopefully the show will hopefully get the word out, and we start seeing this as an issue. So I think reaching out to your representative, let them know, hey, you support this bill, let's get this done, would be a good thing for everybody.
What is the, you know, and I'm glad you're on today, because I was talking with some folks the past few weeks. Are you, Jim, are you surprised in a way with it? It just seems to me that this is a huge, huge situation.
Huge. I think we're at a point where, you know, obviously there's an increase in opiates on the street. Kids are getting into drugs a lot younger. So it's become this huge issue. And also the pharmaceutical companies had something to do with this in the early 2000s. You know, there's an increase in medications that were being overprescribed.
I know. I couldn't believe that.
Unbelievable. But we... Us in our field, we saw this kind of coming. We saw this coming in the early 2000s. As soon as a certain medication came out, we were like, oh, boy, you know, is this going to be an issue? Because it was so habit-forming for individuals. The good news is there's medications out there that can stabilize people so that physically they can feel fine.
Oh, really? Now?
There is. So if an individual, if you have a loved one who's hurting, they're physically dependent on an opiate, you know, they can reach out to providers to stabilize them, to get them off these medications. And oftentimes there's increased access now. There's a lot more doctors and providers out there who are able to give these medications. So the best way for them to get help would be to reach out to their primary care physician, let their primary care physician know, say, look, I'm struggling, I'm dependent on these opiates, and I need help. And here's the thing. I think as a society, we see it only as a young problem, but we have a lot of seniors that are also addicted on opiates.
You know something? I was going to ask you that because last week I was talking to a doctor, and he introduced me to a senior who was on opiates. And I said, these are for young people. He said, not anymore. So how did what would be the reason for seniors to get onto an opiate?
Well, the thing is a lot of seniors are hitting 30 years addicted on opiates, and because they've been on medications to stabilize them, they're now hitting retirement. You know, historically, in the 60s and 70s, when people were abusing, especially like heroin and things, people were not living. They were overdosing then. We just didn't probably hear about it, but they were overdosing at that point, and they weren't. A lot of times medical issues were impacting them and causing them to die prematurely. But because we've been increasing services and access to services, people have been living. You know, we're giving people good medical care. We're giving them the support that they need. So now they're reaching retirement age. They're doing well. The issue itself is not an issue anymore. But now when they get into Medicare, when they get to retirement age, they're not able to access the same services if they need it. like they did in the past because Medicare won't cover a lot of those services, or it's very, very expensive for them to access. So I think it's always been an issue. It's just that now those individuals are retiring. You know, they're getting to that age. So it's always been an issue. Also, too, I think as you get older, obviously we have some more medical issues. So opiates have been traditionally a very inexpensive modality to use to treat pain. So now we have to look at alternate ways to treat pain. So we have to be a little bit more mindful and open to that.
So it's not just young people then?
No, it's across the board. I think if you look at statistics, you know, it's pretty much even through every demographic from 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And again, every year, you know, there may be dips here. There's some dips and stuff, but overall, it hits everybody from a grandparent to an 18-year-old. And I think I mentioned on your show before, you know, I've seen three generations be addicted to opiates. You know,
yes,
addiction
I know.
Is a, you know, a chronic progressing disease that continues. So, and some people use the medications, you know, for pain, and then they become dependent because they're so habit-forming. But there is an addictive component to it as well. So that's kind of where the counseling and the family support is needed, and why like a bill like this would be really good for society. And for
so
for
it's
us.
Being worked on now, you say?
It's being worked on, and hopefully...
Boy, that would be great, though.
They put it on top of the importance list because I think it's going to help with the opiate crisis. I think this will definitely
big
help.
Big time. Big time.
Big time. And save a lot of money in the end and for the residents of Connecticut and everybody in America, basically.
What else in your work? I'm talking with Jim Motteo, National Board Certified Counselor, and works with all kinds of patients. And I'm surprised that this morning that there were so many and are so many seniors that are involved. Thank God that they are, but certainly you don't want their medication to be cut off. That's just not right.
It's unfair. It's
oh,
unfair.
I know.
When you get to retirement age, obviously you've been working so hard, and you want to be able to have that same level of service and care that you had before. So it's very unfortunate. It's tragic, and I've seen people leave treatment, unfortunately, because they're not able to keep it going.
You know, I was reading, this was a couple of months ago, I finished up a book on, because, you know, it seems that nobody likes to talk about this, and all of a sudden, you see how many are on this, and you say, "What? I mean, my God, it's unbelievable the number of people that are hooked on these drugs." And is it something that we can beat in the end? Do you think?
I think so. I think it's
what has to be done. What do you think?
Well, I think at the federal level, we need to make sure that the drugs are not coming in. You know, I think there's an increased access to opiates, heroin. There's pills that are being manufactured that look like pills that you would get in the pharmacy that are opiate pills.
Really?
They're manufacturing them and they're shipping them in into the country. So there's a black market. There's the black web, the dark web, where children go on there, or I should say adolescents go on there, and they actually order the drugs and they're coming through the mail system. So it's a big issue. So at one level is stopping it from coming in. Two, I think, is educating our children at a younger age, you know, starting maybe at 8, 9, or 10 and educating them about substances and saying, hey, you know, if you start doing these things, this is what potentially could happen. And I think our kids are a lot more mature.
I
know
too.
From
oh,
when
yeah.
I was 8.
Yeah.
Brad, I'm sure you're the same. I think the kids today are maturing a lot faster. So I think if we give them that information, they'll follow through.
Jim, give me your telephone number so that the folks, if they want to call you, can get a hold of you. What is the number where they can reach you?
Sure, it's 866-887-6864. That's 866-887-6864. And we're located in Farmington and in Hartford. Advanced Treatment Solutions is the name of the company.
Advanced Treatment Solutions.
Correct.
And give me those numbers again.
It's 866-887-6864.
Easy to remember.
Very easy.
Yeah. Well, again, we'll get you back here next month and you know, all the different types of services that you counsel people with. Very, very important. Jim Monteo, National Board Certified Counselor, and is a guest of mine. Every month, and we're going to talk about these various things that affect people. And boy, I'll tell you, it is a crisis. That is for sure. So I thank you so much for coming in today, and we'll see you next month.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me on again.
No. This is important. This is very important to me and to the people who listen, because they want to have this information. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you,
Brad. Coming up to 10 minutes now before the hour, and I'll be right back.